This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Chris Nyme is a mental health advocate, illness survivor, author, and teacher. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 2001. Subsequently, he was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. He has written his memoir called Two Sides to the Story, Living a Lie. And he joins us on the line right now from Ottawa. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for taking the time to do this. Right off the bat, talking about the subtitle of your book, it's called Living a Lie. Why Living a Lie?
When I started teaching in 1998, I had the world right in front of me. I had come out of University of Western Ontario, a graduate on the dean's list. I had scholarships. I was president of the student council of all kinesiology at Western. So when I left school and got into teacher's college, I had everything going for me, and the world was basically there in front of me to take as far as what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to accomplish. I had visions of a family. I had visions of, you know, a really good, cushy job. I had visions of having children. And I started teaching in 1998. And at the time, it came up on me with quite a surprise. But illness started to really take over my mind during those years. For 2 years, I had these terrible feelings that went from very, very low depressive feelings where I'd come home and I was tired and I didn't have the energy and I couldn't do stuff, to maybe a few weeks later feeling an overabundance of energy and activity where I would stay at school till 10 at night and I was working like a fiend. It was wild. I had so much of this euphoria. But in those low times, I just decided that maybe it'd be best that I don't tell anyone, because I was worried about my career and I was worried about what people would think if I was to bring up how I was feeling. So for a good 2 years working as a teacher, I hid a lot of secrets that had to do with mental illness as to what I was feeling, what I was experiencing, to protect myself. I wore a mask basically to show people that I was Chris Nyme, I was strong, I was powerful, I had the smile, I had the looks, and I could do anything I wanted. And the way I was feeling was not going to be revealed, because I didn't want people to bring me down or say, well, you must be sick or you're not capable. But it wasn't until I left teaching full-time when the sickness really kicked in and started to push me around, and I eventually went on my major manic episode and then down into my major depression. And it was from there on in that my family and I made an agreement that we would keep everything hidden, because if I was to go back into my profession of teaching, I felt that I needed to hide what I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. I knew I was a great teacher, but people wouldn't see that if they saw illness first.
As I mentioned, you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder in 2001. Is that something that was merely a diagnosis, an answer to what you were feeling, what we're going through, a discovery at that point, or was it something that you had been going through for a long time before that, and it was only diagnosed as bipolar in 2001?
I started to experience ups and downs when I turned about 18. It was just before leaving for university. I had my first, we called them episodes, where I just was completely out of the ordinary for me. I was thinking differently. I was agitated. I was angry, and it was so unlike me. So when I went to university, I got caught up in the extreme, you know, excitement of university, which really took the waves of my bipolar to highs and lows that, you know, took me from being this, you know, leader of everyone and running the show and being this super guy, to other times where I was locked in my dorm room, lying in bed, and no one knew that I was struggling. And actually, that first year, I ended up leaving at Christmas as a Christmas grad, which is just sort of the term that people use when someone leaves school. not knowing why, not understanding why, because these great feelings felt so good that I didn't think I was dealing with illness. I just thought, wow, I must be some special guy. I can feel this way and I can do all these things that others can't, and I must be chosen, I must be special. But then when the depressions hit, I just wondered what was going on. But when it did hit in its full in 2001, it was quite evident in my major high that things were really off. When I started to, spend money carelessly, I had so much energy that I was, hugging people I didn't know and meeting every person that I could in a restaurant. There were times that I felt I was chosen by God to take over the world and make this world a better place. And my thoughts just took me all over the place, where I thought I was building big businesses that were going to make billions of dollars. And then finally I came down into my low in 2001, July, and it was the worst experience of my life, where I was in my parents' basement for over 2 months, in the dark, would not leave the basement. I had to be prescribed light from my doctor, which was a 5-minute walk upstairs and then back down for the day. So, yeah, I did experience it before 2001. We just didn't understand it then, and I hid a lot of those things from even my family. But in 2001, when it really came in full force, it was clearly evident that I had bipolar disorder.
Well, let's go back a bit. You talk about when you were a student and what you were going through at that time. And now you've written this book, Two Sides to the Story, Living a Lie. You're a teacher. You're a motivational speaker. You go around talking about this. I'm sure somebody comes up to you and asks the question, how do you know, going back to that experience when you were a student, how do you know what you're going through is a mental illness and not just normal anxiety of growing up and experiencing new things?
Yeah, I know, it's a very good question. I think when I went through high school, because mental illness was so frowned upon in those days, that even when I left swimming and baseball and football, I was actually invited to play university football at Western. I was invited that year, and they actually won the Vanier Cup, but I made an excuse because of obsessions I was having to not go and put school first. But even during those times, there was so much anxiety in even mentioning any of this to people. You know, when I brought up stuff to my parents, we talked a lot, but there was a lot of things that I didn't understand that were happening within me that I just didn't want to talk about at that time, because it was such a weird thing to talk about mental health. People just didn't. It was one of those topics that stayed hidden. Nowadays, we're starting to talk more. We're starting to bring it up more. Kids are realizing that it's not their fault that they have a disorder. It's not their fault at all. It's a genetic thing. It comes through, or it's a circumstantial causing a genetic to trigger. And we're trying to tell these kids now that you need to talk, that you need to speak up. Because I really believe if I spoke up more in high school and university, I could have, gone on a different track completely and possibly avoided the major low and the major high that I did that just ripped my life apart and basically was a decade climb trying to get back my life, trying to be the Chris Nimey that I knew I could be, while watching my friends move on and have babies and have, jobs and big houses, and here I am just struggling along. So the message I try to tell kids now is you need to be able to talk. You need to be able to speak up. Because you're only going to get help if you speak up. And you can change the whole course of your life by speaking up and realizing that the climb to healing can be a lot steeper if you hide these things and you don't tell people. And now, with the message I share about hope and healing, I'm giving kids the opportunity to say to themselves, you know what, I am struggling, but there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to get the help that I need. Because if I don't get the help that I need, I'm going to struggle. And if I struggle, I'm not going to be able to accomplish the things that I want to in my life.
Well, you've written this book now. We've got just about a minute, but I do have to ask, How are you feeling now? How are you doing now?
You know, it is really night and day to where I've gotten to. I've come so far in my healing to the point where now I'm sharing my story and influencing lives and researching things and being part of the mental health field in what I do. Writing changed my life. Picking up that pen and starting to write my story, it gave me a whole new outlook on my life. It was a whole change in purpose and meaning. It gave me a reason for what I went through. The suffering was not going to control me because I now had the tools to be able to move on. So I try to pass that on to any people that are struggling or going through things. Healing does happen. And that's my message. I pass that message everywhere. Healing can happen, but it begins with the individual saying, I want to make this happen.
A very good message indeed. Thank you very much, Chris, for being on the program with us. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Chris Nyme, author of Two Sides to the Story, Living a Lie. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0407, and you'll find links to Chris's website, plus links to either amazon.com or amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.